Hello, everybody, and welcome to the First Baptist Church Savannah podcast. It is September 6th, looking forward to the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. Is that right?
That's right.
Is that what we're on for September 11th? And it's been a while. It's been a while. The gang's all here, but it's been a while since we've cut a podcast. Yeah. So
we've been all over the map.
That's true. We have been all over the map. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. But Kyle is here. Say hello, Kyle.
Hello, everybody.
And the John Finley is here.
Yes, hello.
And the Lauren Caldwell is here as well.
I'm here.
So everybody is present as we are sitting in the new and improved nursery. Or what should we call it, Lauren?
I'm calling it the children's area because it's really for all of our children.
That's right.
Older than nursery kids.
And let me tell you, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
It is. I'm running out of superlative.
Well, it is beautiful. The blue walls in here are fantastic. Even the walls in the hallway leading into the children's area look fantastic. And this Sunday, we're actually going to, what are we calling this? Dedicate? Christen it?
Sure. We're ribbon cutting. Yeah. Okay. No, we're dedicating it. And we are doing a ribbon cutting. We're letting our kids do that.
So. All right.
They're all excited to see it.
Yeah, I'll bet they are.
They can't wait.
So are the rest of us, Lauren.
I know. I've kept the doors locked.
That's right. Like, there has been very few people that have been allowed behind the curtain.
That's right. True. Very, very few. There have been people who have helped me, but...
Right.
Well, it has been a construction site for several months, so...
True.
Reasons right. to keep little hands and fingers out over there, but... Yeah, it's going to be a surprise, I think, for most people.
I think it is. It's beautiful. I'm trying to bite my tongue a little bit. I was going to...
No, don't give away.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I was going to describe some of the things in here, but I'm going to bite my tongue and let us save that for Sunday, because it will be an ooh and ah moment. And speaking of the children, we had VBS this summer.
We did.
And it was a success. You want to talk
Absolutely.
About that, Lauren?
Yeah, it was great. We talked about torchlighters of the faith, and so we looked at some... people who have done great things in the name of Christianity around the world. Since it was an Olympic summer, we talked about lots of different countries and cultures and sampled some food from there, sang different songs. Kyle found us, they sang one in Hebrew.
Yes. We did some Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
There was one that had some Spanish. And we also picked up on the Olympic theme. And our theme song was about lighting torches and carrying God's light around the world.
Yeah, but they talked about people like Corrie ten Boom and right. Eric Little. Lots of them missionaries, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm. Eric Little, who was also an Olympian, speaking of the...
That's true. He's who the movie Chariots of Fire
That's right.
is about.
Maybe since you said that, I'll use that theme song as our opening to this podcast today.
Please do.
Just a little shout out there to Eric Little. But the kids seemed to have a lot of fun.
They did.
Like you said, Lauren, they had some... They actually made some food from different places.
They did. They made dumplings. Mm-hmm. From China, they had Rice Krispie sushi.
That's right.
which is actually really cool.
We just kind of thought that real sushi might not go over well with the, six, 7, and 8 year old.
Some of them really wanted real sushi, but they liked the Rice Krispie. But we also visited some different places. We went to First mm-hmm. African Baptist Church.
Why'd you go there?
We learned about Samuel Morris, who's from Liberia. Mm. And so we wanted to look at something that had some African roots to it. And so we went there and learned about their history. And we also went to Mikveh Israel and learned about their history as well. And our children, who can quote the Shema, impressed all of the tour guides at Mikveh Israel.
Yeah, this is a great story. You said that the tour guide was taking y'all around, and he said something about this prayer, and they all yelled.
Well,
the
he was pointing out the Torah scrolls that are in their sanctuary, and he said, "Do you know what they're written in?" And they all said Hebrew, and they said, "And we can say Hebrew. We can say the prayer." And so they did. And they were all very impressed.
And
absolutely.
You went to the printing press as well.
We did. We went to the Savannah Morning News and saw a printing press. And we talked about William Tyndale and what he did to make the Bible available for all people. And so we talked about how the printing press helped make that possible. And so we went and saw how the Savannah Morning News does that. They're actually the only printing press in Savannah and really in our area. Wow. I learned that they print papers for places all the way up to Macon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
I didn't either until we went there.
Hey, the more you know.
Right.
And Kyle, this summer choir, how did that go?
It went really well. The choir sang once a month, and we got to practice and get together once a month. And in between those times, we had soloists and instrumentalists doing things, and mm-hmm. Everybody did a great job. Most Sundays were covered from our regular folks, and I think it added a lot to the services. I appreciate all their hard work. We had a special Sunday in there with a youth choir from
Anderson, South Carolina.
They were terrific. They did a great job. They came in as part of their summer tour.
Yeah, that was early in the summer, but man, they were good.
They were. They did a great job.
Lauren, you have a connection with them?
Yeah, Caleb Hopkins went to South Korea with me when we went in January. He was he led worship for the camp, and he's music minister there, so he brought his youth choir.
Yeah, it was great to have them. And Kyle, some of the instrumental solos this summer, they were good stuff.
Yeah, there was one really great Sunday when we had John Fox on his violin, and I think that's the same Sunday that Brian Martin played recorder.
That's
so
right.
We got different. We got the woodwind family and the strings.
Did Richard Lewis play piano?
Richard Lewis played piano early on.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we were getting lots of people in this summer. Now, Lauren, back to you. You had VBS. Summer is like the busy time for youth and children's ministers. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is when they really, you know, some people joke this is where the youth and children's minister really steps up and does their thing is in the summer. You also had camp. You took the kids to Passport Kids. You took the youth to Passport. How was that?
They all really enjoyed it. It was Madeline's first time to go to camp, and she took a friend with her, Breezy, to kids' camp in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I think their favorite part was staying in a college dorm, but it always takes one week to get used to camp.
Yeah.
Because when you roll up in a van and people are screaming at you, your immediate reaction as a third grader is to think you did something wrong.
Right. Screaming in excitement.
Right. And to learn that worship is a time where you can jump and scream and yell and be excited too. That's different. So it takes a summer to learn, but usually by the end, they're acclimated and they love it and they can't wait to come back.
That's right.
And so they were already planning to come back the next summer.
Yeah.
And the youth, they had a great time. Betsy Sutton, of course, worked Passport Camp this summer, and she happened to be at the place where we went in Danville, Virginia. So Jillian and John Fox loved seeing her and interacting with her. And we took Kyle for the first time this summer.
Speaking of jumping and yelling and having giant balloons and balls thrown at your head.
Right.
How was that experience for you, Kyle?
Getting called up on stage to do a lip syncing contest the first night.
But you did fantastic.
I won.
That's right.
Yeah, I won the competition.
Because you were doing Adele, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I had a little strategic help.
I mean, Lauren and I both have camp background. So how was this first experience?
It was a little intimidating at first, but it was a lot of fun. I've heard Lauren talk a lot about Passport, and to see what they do in action, and to get to hang out with the youth was really cool.
Good. And like you said, Lauren, I'm sure it was wonderful for you as a youth minister to see one of your own doing some leadership, and seeing Betsy do something that you were quite familiar with.
Yeah, doing exactly what I did a couple years ago.
Right.
Just a few. And she'll be telling us about that later in September. Mm-hmm. She's going to be at our third Sunday luncheon on September 18th. And she's going to share with us her experiences this summer.
Yeah. I think the last thing I was going to hit on for the summer is, Lauren, the women of FBC have been moving this summer.
Yes. Quite a bit. Several people have accused me of trying to kill their spouses, and that is not true. I've not attempted to kill anyone, but it is an exercise class.
Right.
So but you worked them hard.
You can't just sit there and do nothing.
So if you felt the burn.
That's right. I have to say, I am very proud of anybody who came, even
That's
one
right,
time.
Yeah.
If you came one time, I'm very proud of you. I'm especially proud of some of the people who were able to come multiple times, almost every time throughout the summer. And the first couple times, like when I did yoga or different workout moves, I would have to explain, okay, put your right foot here, put your left foot here, you do this with your arms, you do this with your legs, you move this, this is what this means. But by the last class, all I said was downward dog or chaturanga mm-hmm. or punch, kick, a combination, and they all knew exactly what I meant. Right. And so they did learn.
And punching and kicking the air, that is, not each other.
Yeah, we didn't do each other. No, it was the air. But anyway, they learned. I mean, I didn't have to explain after that time.
So. Well, I've heard tons of people say they enjoyed it. Even if they were not really into the exercise part, they at least enjoyed being together.
Yeah.
Well, we had a lot of different people involved.
We did.
How many different people were involved who came at least once? Like 15 or 20 people?
Oh, more than that. I would say at least 30 that came at least once.
That's great.
Total.
That's great.
And all ages, too. We had everyone from Jacqueline to older members. Everybody came. We had Nancy Lazard came and showed us up in our dancing classes. Betty Hodges was our yoga guru. Hmm. So we had lots of people helping.
Well, what's neat to hear about the summer is that it was such a full summer. I mean, sometimes you think that during the summer it's a slower time, but holy cow, we packed a lot in. Something for the kids, something for the youth, something for the adults, and every once in a while we threw in some Wednesday night dinners in there. So it was a really full summer for the First Baptist Church calendar. But now we're post Labor Day. We have survived our tropical storm gift that we had during Labor Day. Everybody okay?
Yeah.
We made it through.
Electricity is good. And we had ours restored after about 34 hours.
Yeah.
So that's good.
But we're after Labor Day. It is past. School is in full swing. We're about to have the SCAD students come back. And so things will, I guess for some people's lives, normalize with a schedule. And so we look forward and we look ahead. And we, just as our summer was busy, our fall is packed already as well. I mean, starting right out of the gun. I mean, tomorrow night we've got our first Wednesday night and we're back. And Lauren, you've already said and mentioned that on Sunday we're going to be dedicating the new children's area right after church. And so that's happening. You've also already mentioned that Betsy's going to come in a couple of weeks and talk to us in our third Sunday luncheon after church. Mm-hmm. And before even all of that, we have a churchwide game night coming up this Friday.
That's right. 6:00. Will and Betty Hodges are hosting that at their house.
So board games and...
Yeah, any game you want. I would say board game. Any game you want to bring, but probably more like board games.
Right. I mean, if Will and Betty want to bust out the Xbox and play some Street Fighter or something, power to them.
I bet Will has that somewhere.
That's right. He's got that tucked away somewhere.
But yeah, bring dips, desserts, and drinks to share with everybody. We're having dip for dinner, so super healthy, and playing games together. And there is nursery care at their house if you need it.
Board games, card games. And after the game night, something else to look forward to, Congregations in Service, something we do twice a year, is not too many weekends away. John, you want to chat about that?
September 17 and 18. I believe I'm right in saying this is like the 25th installment of this, believe it or not. Wow. I've been doing it that long and that many times a year. So we begin on Saturday morning at 8:00 at First Presbyterian Church. There's a continental breakfast and then a brief kind of commissioning service, interfaith service, and we go out into the community and do all sorts of volunteer service projects benefiting Savannah. And then it continues on Sunday for those who may want to go after the congregational luncheon. There'll be other projects continuing on Sunday afternoon, and that kicks off at 12:30. So it's a full weekend, both at First Baptist and in the community.
Yeah, it's always good to. It always feels good to do congregations in service.
Yeah, and it is an interfaith exercise. It's probably the largest interfaith effort in Savannah, in that it includes Christians, Jews, Muslims, Baha'i, Unitarian Universalist Church, and probably some others I'm leaving out. It's a real cross-section of our community and puts people together that wouldn't necessarily associate with each other. Mm. So it's an exercise in volunteer service benefiting, helping agencies that are already in existence in our community, and a chance to work with our neighbors.
Kyle, I remember the first time that that you and I did Congregations in Service. Yes. They told us we were going to do light yard work,
right,
and we ended up
some gardening.
Basically chopping down a forest.
Pulling vines out of trees.
That's right.
With your whole body.
That's right. I hurt the next day. I came to church and I was like,
that was
man, I can't move. As always, our women of the church and our dudes of FBC are going to be doing a few things. I'm not going to go too much into them because as we get closer, we'll give a few more details. But a couple of things for the dudes to look forward to. In October, we're going to be having dinner together. And then we're going to go over and join a group of folks that are the Savannah Beer and Hymns. They congregate together once a month and sing hymns. That's what they do. This is actually a movement that you see in a lot of other cities. The one in Savannah is actually kind of inspired from one on the West Coast. And so this is something that you can find in other cities around the country. And Savannah just started it last year and is continuing their season this year. Also in November, we're looking at volunteering with Habitat for Humanity. They have a new executive director, and we are looking forward to doing some volunteer work with them. And the dudes are going to do that in November. So, Lauren, what do the women have lined up?
Well, you were talking about Congregations in Service. We're going to get as many of us as can do a project on Saturday the 17th. We're going to get together and do a Women of FBC project together with Congregations in Service. So anybody that is free that day and can come, please do, and we'll do that together. And then on October 2nd, which is a Sunday, that is Picnic in the Park.
That's right.
In Savannah. And so we are going to go in coordination with the dudes.
That's right. That's right.
And do, we haven't quite worked out the details yet, but something together with Picnic in the Park,
right,
which is that Sunday, October 2nd in the afternoon.
Right. Maybe some grilling, maybe some funny games. We'll see.
We'll see. But anyway, we'll do that in conjunction with the dudes of FBC. And we have some other things coming also, but that's the two I'll mention.
Sweet. Kyle, what about the choir? What can they look forward to in the fall season?
Choir is starting back up on Wednesday. We talked about Wednesday night starting. The adult choir is going to have their first rehearsal of the season. That's always an exciting time to see everybody and get back together and see the music we're working on. And then next week, the bells start. They're moved, by the way, back to Wednesday nights at 6:15. A little change from last year. And next week, also, the kids start. So we take our children, and we've got a children's choir that we encourage all of our children, even if they haven't sung before, to be a part of.
Nice, nice. And they do a good job.
They really do. They do a nice
sure
job.
Sure do. Now, speaking of Wednesday nights, we'll jump in. We've got a full slate coming up for Wednesday nights this fall.
We're continuing our series of stories on grace and faith. We'll be having some of those throughout the fall, including one on September 14th by Janice Lewis. We've got different guest speakers representing some of our mission partners, like Ken Myers from the Alliance of Baptists. We have Carson and Laura Fushi, who have been CBF missionaries to Japan, coming for a Sunday and a Wednesday night to talk about their ministry and what they anticipate doing in the future. And then we're going to a two-track model that some of the others may want to
watch
talk
it now
to kind of double our offerings on Wednesday nights in October and early November.
Yeah. So, Lauren, one of those tracks is going to the Spiritual Formation Committee is putting on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're calling it the Ministry of Presence. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to focus on things like grief and loss. Visitation. So how do you visit with, minister to, talk to, listen to someone who is dealing with grief or loss? And that doesn't necessarily mean loss of a person. That can also mean loss in lots of different senses, like loss of a relationship, empty nesters, that's a different stage of life and a sense of loss in a way. And so lots of different ways. And we're also going to talk about, though this sounds morbid, talk about funeral planning a little bit. It's not something we love talking about, but it's also something we really need to talk about. And so we're going to talk a little bit about things that we might look for when we're planning funerals and things you might want to think about and tell a spouse or a loved one or a family member that wishes that you have, that you might want, things about a service that you think are important, and other things that funeral directors talk to people about too. So it's good information.
Yeah, the Spiritual Formation Committee has been working hard putting those four sessions together.
Yeah, and some of them are going to be led by members of our church. Mm-hmm. Some are going to be panel discussions. Some we're bringing in some outside people to do. So it's a variety of people.
Yeah, that is track one. The other track, we've had plenty of people ask us to do a type of in-depth Bible study. So, John, you and I are tackling this.
We are. The 8th century prophets.
8th century B.C.
Yes.
That is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so we're dividing those four sessions, and we'll be looking at Hosea and Isaiah and Amos and Micah. That's right. Another Wednesday night that we're doing in late September, it has to do with a new option in online giving that a number of people have asked us about, and we've been exploring different options, have a really good new program called Realm that comes to us through ACS, which is a provider of software for us, and I think we've just in the last week had our first online gift. But
oh, wow.
For people who have not signed up and established an account and a password and so forth, we're going to have a Wednesday night on September the 28th where we're going to give explanation to all this and help people to establish their account and know how to use it. Mm-hmm. We're already hearing good things back, people delighted that they have this new option in giving.
And it's not just for giving, though. It's a new way to look at our church directory. You can get names, addresses, phone numbers quickly and easily.
You really can,
And I think it's already affected the online member directory. Has a little bit different look to it now because we're in the process of changing over to this new software. But that's right. It does give us new options in calling up information. And we've already used that for different, if we want to know the names of every child born in the last 2 or 3 years, it gives us that. There are ways to do searches, and it's going to be a great resource, I think, for the congregation at large.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really important Wednesday for people to be at. We'll have computers in the room so that people can hands-on and know exactly how that program works. As you said, John, there's been a lot of people who have been asking us for a way to give online.
Right, because the movement, as we all know, is away from the checkbook to other ways of giving. And people have said, I pay almost all of my bills online.
Right.
And so we'd really like an option in that that area.
Yeah. And so this gives it. So, yeah, an important Wednesday for us to come together and learn a few things about computers. It's going to be really fun.
We talked about the first class or track option that's split. There's another one that's split, and it's only for 2 weeks. It's the second and third week in November, so November 9 and 16. And one of the options, Kyle?
One of the options is going to be exploring the pipe organ in our sanctuary. It's an incredible resource that this church has. It dates all the way back to 1922, parts of it. It's all around our building, up in the attic, behind you, in front of you, above you. But it's something that a lot of people may not know much about, how it works, how I interface with the organ every week, what the mechanical workings are, how many pipes we have, where they are. So I'm going to offer a program, a class, where we talk about the organ, and I try and give you some behind-the-scenes look into how it works and what that instrument really is.
Yeah, and then the other option, we're going to give a hands-on, yours might be hands-on, Kyle, a little bit, but this is going to be hands-on for everybody, an adult crafting option, and this is not your average VBS craft.
Right.
This is, even though we've had some great crafts, I shouldn't knock that.
It's not binoculars with toilet paper rolls.
No. We don't have average VBS crafts, let me say. But our adults are going to do some as well, and we're going to be a little bit creative. If you like Pinterest and you like working with your hands, we're going to use our adult creativity a little bit.
So like I said, we have a very full fall schedule, and that's not even including Sundays that we have talked about. And speaking of Sundays, pointing toward this Sunday, it is September 11th, and it is also the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, and so we are we are recognizing that this Sunday. Before we jump into the sermon and the scripture that's going to be read, what are some of the ways that we're going to be recognizing that this Sunday?
Well, the anniversary falls on the actual day this that's year, right. and it is a 15th anniversary, so we thought it merited a little special attention. Lauren has helped us put together. Why don't you talk a little bit about prayers of the people and what we're going to do there?
We're going to do the prayers of the people a little bit differently this week in light of September 11th. So all four of us, John, Josh, Kyle, and I, are going to be praying and participating in the prayers of the people. And then instead of having, we usually have a time of silent meditation or reflection or prayer at the beginning, but this week we're going to put it at the end of the prayers that the four of us offer, and that's going to happen while...
I'm going to be playing a piece on the organ. It's the Samuel Barber Adagio for strings.
That's one of my favorite pieces.
What movie is that in, Josh?
Platoon. It was basically made famous from that movie.
I knew it was in a movie somewhere, but I didn't learn it from there, but it's still good nonetheless. It's a very reflective, introspective, beautiful piece.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some extended time for prayer and meditation as I play that after the prayers of the people.
And after that, John, the passages for this Sunday, some familiar passages, Luke 15, which later on has the stories of the prodigal son, most famously in it, but at the very beginning has a couple of other lost parables. So as per usual, we will read this passage and then we will talk about it.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the lost coin, found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Yeah, these are relatively familiar parables, and they are in a line of parables that most people call the lost parables, or parables about lost things. And so, John, what are we going to hear this Sunday from these two parables?
Well, they happen to come out of the lectionary text. We're not departing from the lectionary. This comes up on the cycle for this year. I thought it was especially appropriate on a Sunday when we're dedicating this new children's area and thinking about the teaching ministry of this church to look at these two short parables as descriptive of the teaching ministry of Jesus. And really, if we are doing what we're supposed to be doing as a congregation, I think it is to imitate the teaching ministry of Jesus. So we're looking a little bit at parables, how Jesus used parables, how they're really open for interpretation. And so we'll be thinking about the way Jesus used stories to convey meaning to his disciples, and look at how he did that, think together about how we do that as a church. We've been, for the last couple of years, sharing our personal stories, as we'll do on that Wednesday night in September I mentioned, stories of grace and faith. But we're also looking at the biblical stories as a larger part of what we do in our Bible teaching ministry, in our sermons, in our Sunday school, for all age groups. And it's really the intersection of those two, how our personal stories interface with the biblical story. So that's what we're about in the sermon on Sunday.
John, it's really interesting how you bring up the power of story with these two parables and
relate that to the teaching ministry of the church, and even with the dedication of that the children's area, because it fascinates me when we watch each other do children's sermons. You know, how so often the medium that we use in that are different stories. You know, I mean, I think I know more about Lauren's life through children's sermons.
That's true.
Than I do anything else. But it is fascinating just how much Jesus uses these stories. If I remember correct, I think the statistic is that 35% of the words spoken by Jesus in the Bible are parabolic.
I don't doubt that. I mean, it was very obviously a large part of his ministry. Mm. Sometimes storytelling gets a bad rap in churches. I've heard other ministers criticize churches and preachers who tell stories in their sermons. Yeah.
And there was a certain vein, I guess, in generation of preachers who almost didn't tell stories at all.
Yeah, it was not supposed to be biographical at all and nothing first person, you know. And yet... the reality is Jesus told a lot of stories, and we're led to believe that many of them probably called to mind actual events taking place in the world of Jesus. Yeah. You know, the parable of the Good Samaritan might very well have called upon some kind of locally known episode.
Something that would have been in the front page newspaper the week earlier or something.
Jesus drew upon those resources, and... And the other thing to say is that in the teaching of parables, you know, there's not, it's not just cut and dried with parables. No. They're open for interpretation, which is the you know, another part of the work of the church is to interpret our stories and the biblical stories. Hmm. So that seemed like a good convergence of that to think about the ministry of teaching that we're about as a congregation, and also as it relates to the children of our church. That's what we're trying to do with them.
Yeah, it seems to me that a good parable has so many layers to it and hits you in a different way, sometimes at different points in life. Mm-hmm. And I, just this week, there's a friend of mine who was talking about a movie that he loved, and he said, "I feel like this is one of Jesus's parables because there's so many layers." And he said, "When I watched it 10 years ago, it hit me in a different way than it hits me now." Mm-hmm. You know, which is in some ways is kind of the narrative of life. Yeah, I mean, there's different points in our life where something means something different, you know, when we were 21, and it takes on a different meaning when we're 35.
Right. And it also points up, you know, the richness of the biblical narrative. Hmm. There's so much there, you know, to be mined and to be discovered, depending on where we are in our own journey.
So, John, when we walk away on Sunday, what's kind of our big takeaway then?
Well, I hope it will be that... we see the value of a ministry of teaching. We see examples of how Jesus did this in his own ministry, and something of the challenge, the opportunity that lies before our congregation and every church to tell the biblical story and to have that resonate with our own personal stories.
And then right after church, we get to have some refreshment and get to open the doors to that new children's area. That's right.
Yes.
That's right, because it is beautiful. And everybody gets to see it. And they ooh and ah.
I hope so.
No, I think they will. I think they will. All right, so this is Josh.
And Kyle.
And John.
And Lauren.
And until next time, see you later.